Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present Walk the Talk, Converting Ideas into Actions That Change the World. This teaching is entitled Staying Focused in a Fragmented World by Dennis Peacock.
Jan and I just came back from France last week, and we were with Pierre. God is doing some amazing things in France. It is wonderful to see what God is doing around the world. And where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. We are going to have and are now in an opportunity to see Bible verses fulfilled that up to this point in time appear to just be concepts. And we, like Peter, will be able to say, this is that. And they're experiencing that in France. We had a number of African leaders, both English and French speaking, come to these meetings. And relative to the message of what we're all doing here, basically came and submitted about 4,000 churches to become a part of this movement all over Africa. So there is a lot going on, my friends. So I want to, in a less incendiary way, quickly go through what we covered last night. We are saying that if the 20th century, or since the 20th century, was the century where God chose to focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in preparation for His strategic unfolding of His purposes for the church. And as the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the training, the beginning of training for people to be discipled by the Holy Spirit, both directly and relationally through people. Because the Holy Spirit not only instructs, how many of you know the Holy Spirit connects? 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, the Holy Spirit places us in the church according to His will. What does that mean? The church is people. How many of you are connected with people by the power of the Holy Spirit? That could not happen in the same way until the Holy Spirit's ministry was explicitly and strategically received. According to your faith, what? So be it unto you. That's why knowledge of God's ways are important. The more you understand the ways of God, the more susceptible you are to receive the full dose of what God wants to give you in that reality. Say amen if you understood what I just said. Why knowledge does matter. But the Holy Spirit is the one that takes knowledge and makes it operable and powerful. And we are saying that we are now in the beginning century of the discipling of nations. That is, that the church, which has illegally but somehow been permitted, God is not worried about what the enemy is doing. How many of you know God's already foreseen the way the game will end? The challenge is getting His people to get engaged in the way the game will end, because the game ends through His people. And everybody said, oh my. You see, what we have to understand is God, in His sovereignty, is operating through His people. He has chosen to tie both hands behind His back and stand on one leg and operate through His people. We think that He just wants to transfer us and move us and change us with us being relatively mindlessly unaware of what He's doing. Nothing could be more wrong. Because as He is manifesting His nature in us, He's manifesting in the mind of Christ within all of us, why He is doing what He is doing through us, because He wants fellowship with us in the project. He is not after mindless obedience. Satan is the one that is after mindless obedience. God is after self-conscious awareness, so that we are partnering with Him, understanding why He is doing what He is doing, and not only volunteering, but adding our own individual creativity of the uniqueness that He has put into every one of us into the process, so that we can be thrilled together with God in the work. How many of you have ever experienced the thrill in your relationship with God of the two of you doing something together and the joy that only that brings? Amen? So in this process, and we are at the very beginning, all over the world, I could tell you stories about what's going on all over the world. All over the world, we are in the beginning process of being envisioned and motivated and beginning to understand our responsibility in the nations, our responsibility to the nations. Now, I want to, near the end of this, I want to talk about fighting discouragement and fighting unbelief, because there's a new level of demonic anointing that is being released. Because whenever the Holy Spirit begins to release new understanding, new anointing, new mission, you can be sure the enemy is going to be right there to counteract that with his stuff. And if any of you are experiencing discouragement or unbelief or things in areas that you thought you'd resolved, welcome to the NFL. See, we're here to be prepared for the work. That's what this conference, that's what we do. That is the prophetic dimension of what SCS does, is trying to help God's people understand the times, both what God is doing and the opposition, so that you can be prepared and equipped and encouraged and enlightened how to do it better and more effectively. So we, in that context, are talking about the throne of God being based upon righteousness, which is what is the process of Christ being formed in us, not being saved, quote unquote, with some childish level understanding of what that means. But as Paul said in Galatians 4:19, that Christ would be planted in you in such a way that you can work with God in your own maturation. Hello. How many of you know you are a project? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a project. Some of you had an interesting emphasis on you, our project. I heard that. Okay. Isn't it amazing that our spirit man or spirit woman, which speaks to our own soul, soul, why art thou downcast? Amen. You read it that in the Psalms. You see it all over the Scriptures once you see it. That our spirit, in collaboration with God, is speaking to ourselves. So both our spirit and God are giving our soul a good talking to. Amen? We are legitimately schizophrenic. There's more of us than one inside of us. When the Holy Spirit invades you, He collaborates with your spirit to help in the redemption of your soul. That's part of what being saved means. And the joy of that maturation process, the joy of being able to collaborate with God, as Paul says in Philippians, work out your own salvation. That's what he's talking about. What I'm saying to you right now is the understanding of what he is trying to communicate. Be involved in the Holy Ghost transmission of life to your own being, to your own body, and the way you manage it, take care of it, and even speak healing to it. Because your spirit has the authority to speak to your body and your soul. And as Christ is growing in us, righteousness is being deepened. The well is being deepened. And what you heard me so energized about last night, thank God God allowed my voice to now be healed where I can harass you and preach a little. Last year I could only teach, but I'm back. Okay. So if we are going to get involved in the justice dimension, which the enemy is so uptight about, because when you begin to speak to the management of a nation, the legal system of a nation, the art, the culture, you begin to address the nation, which is what Pierre was so moved about, he could hardly speak. His burden for France. He's captured by his burden for France. And society is trying to convince us that freedom of religion means you are free to have a private religion, but don't even think about justice. You can become as righteous as you think you can become, but don't even think about justice, because justice belongs to us. Freedom of religion does not include the right to bring your spirituality into our schools or into our public square. You dare not address our economic system. You dare not address our educational system. That belongs to us. And one of the things you heard me saying last night, we need to pray for a divine disruption in the body of Christ. And what we need to get disrupted from is seeking the approval of society. We are not here to find the approval of society. We are here to transform society. You cannot talk about discipling a nation without talking about justice. Now that justice begins with understanding the law of God. Now I am very clear, crystal, that Christ is the end of the law to those that believe. We are not talking about the law relative to our salvation. But God Almighty established the law, which is perfect and righteous altogether. He established the law as a picture of the way He wanted the nations managed. You say, why doesn't the New Testament talk more about the structure of society? And Jesus' answer is, I already did. We have a prototypic view of justice when we look at Israel in the Old Testament. Now, they couldn't fulfill justice because the law is what? A schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Neither could they fulfill it personally, nor could they fulfill it socially. Jesus said, anyone who teaches that the law is abolished in the sense in which I'm speaking shall be called least in the kingdom of God, Matthew 5. What does that mean? It means that you can be saved and in the kingdom, but still ignorant of the ways of God. Thank God. How many of you know, thank God? Because we're all ignorant, various degrees. But the moment we begin to see the throne of God coming to the earth, righteousness means the well of God in us must be dug deeper. And justice means we are going to have to learn how in the hermeneutic of the Holy Spirit, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's job is to interpret the law? Not salvifically, but in terms of its administration and the discipling of nations. Raise your hand if you understand what I'm trying to say. I need to know. When we begin to go after justice, we have to go back to the Old Testament, put on our New Testament glasses, ask the Holy Spirit, how do we extrapolate? How do we pull law, which has nothing to do with salvation, but everything to do with the prototypic view of your heart? How do we find your heart that is in the law and apply it in a New Testament context? Now, I'm not swearing, but there is going to be a hell of a fight over this. Because the Christians who have no understanding of how the law passes through, as Jesus said, into the new covenant, are going to be arguing either from the laws of nature or human rationality as the starting point of how you administer justice in a nation. We cannot start on the laws of nature or rationality when God has already given us the starting point for the extrapolation of managing nations when He gave us the law. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am not saying you apply the letter of the law to the nations. I am saying you apply the spirit of what God intended in that law into the nations in the Holy Spirit. Now, those of you that know me and you know the burden I carry for economics, I've got a lifetime invested in understanding that. I am not going to talk about currencies or banking or trade or any of that stuff, all of which is centered point relative to the fruit of human beings' labor. I am not going to start from zero in trying to discover how does God want that justice to come into the nations and heal them. I'm not going to start from zero. I'm going to start from the Word of God. Neither am I going to argue with public officials. I'm going to stand on the Constitution of the United States that says we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and Congress shall not establish nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. And that's ubiquitous. That's everywhere in the culture. Now, we need an interruption in the church. You're the first wave. You need to understand who you are. You and the ones like you around this planet are the first wave. Now, there's a historical momentum behind us. There's others who have put their hand to this task. Paul Jaley, others will help educate us and you. There's a history to what God has been preparing in seminal form. But it's going to bust wide open. The left and the right have made such a mess of this thing and created a Mexican standoff which will not be able to resolve the crisis we're in, which is God's opportunity for the first wavers, that's you, to begin to inject into the dialogue and the discussion where you live and the people you influence. You are going to be sowing seed, opening their ear to the possibility maybe there is another group. Maybe there is another set of people than the politicians who have something to say about how to resolve the crisis of humanity. Maybe justice could come from a spiritual base. But you know what that means? That means that we need to take our view of heaven and rearrange where it is applied. We need to turn heaven back down towards the earth and say, oh God, since I am already in a measure of eternity, I entered eternity when I was born again, but to become a citizen of the kingdom means you've now passed from death unto eternity, unto life. And the Word of God is now applicable for eternity in time. I am there now. Heaven is not something I am going to. The heavenly realm is something I entered into when I got saved. And since I entered into it when I got saved, I'm going to do everything I can to let God, through the portal of my life, bring justice and righteousness to the nations now. And you're in the first wave. Someday in the rocking chairs of glory, you laugh now, we'll be there together, and I'm going to say, I told you so. As you're rocking, talking to your brothers and sisters and your children, you can say, I was there. I was a first waver. I got through it all right. In my notes, which is irrelevant, I filled in all of what I said in those 1, 2, 3, 4 points in each one of these. But I'm not interested in the notes. I'm interested that I communicate what's in the notes. So, speeding up. Everybody in here and everybody you influence that has got the same spiritually genetic call as a first waver. By the way, you need to know who the other first wavers are in your life. You have a responsibility in God to them. As you move through on a new level, because when it's spoken, a new level of responsibility is created. You BLSers that have been through the second year, that's called the green light special. There's a lot of green lights going off right now in this room. That means you and I have a responsibility to discern as we touch people, as we move through our garden, as we move through our days, we need to be looking for the others that God has called to the same first wave that we are involved in. And that means that there are certain key ideas and phrases that we need to know how to use, both defending the enemy's attacks and advancing the kingdom's cause. And one of those is the reality when somebody says you cannot legislate religion, you can't legislate anything but religion. Because all law is religious. Because all law attempts to define good and evil. And religion is about the nature of good and evil. I want you to say with me, all law is religious. The very attempt to legislate is the attempt to impose and define what is good, what is evil, what is productive, what is non-productive, what you want to enforce and what you want to prohibit. All law does only that. So when somebody tells us you cannot legislate morality, hence there is no room for Christians. By the way, there's room for Muslims, there's room for Eastern religion, there's room for everybody else, there's just not room for us. White folks, you are now on the back of the bus. It's an opportunity for you to experience what that feels like. Which us white folks need a good dose of that, because that will help us understand reality. The brother said amen, and the white folks says, I'm not so sure. We are on the back of the bus, and we want to move on up. We want to say we don't want to ride on the back of the bus. And there is not only room for us in the front of the bus, that is where we are called to sit. Because when Jesus said, go and make disciples of nations, what he was saying on is move on up to the front of the bus, because you're actually supposed to be involved in steering the dang thing. I didn't sign up to steer no bus. I'll fly away, dear Lord. I did not sign up for the responsibility of discipling nations. I didn't sign up for the hassle and the conflict. In fact, if there's hassles and conflict, that must be the devil. Jesus never got involved in hassles and conflicts. Oh, really? How many of you understand the cross was a fairly clear statement of getting involved in hassles and conflicts? Now, let me tell you something, my dear friend. Jesus not only did that for you, he did that first so you would understand where you're going. The Son of Man is the prototype of every son and daughter of God. Jesus' life is a picture of our life. It will not look exactly like His, but it is a prototype of how God the Father brought the Son, who learned obedience through the things He suffered, into maturity. If it was good for the goose, it's good for us ganders. If it was the way God matured the very Son Himself, everyone who is a follower of the Son should expect to be dealt with in the same way that the Father dealt with Jesus. He deals with us. Or did you not sign up for that either? It's interesting how God has used my vices. I used to say, smoke this and call me in the morning. What I meant by that was, you need to go on a trip and then let's talk about what it was. We need to imbibe in getting out of the minds we're now in and into the mind of Christ. When I talk about a divine disruption, it means we are inviting God to shake us out of our paradigms, allow us to see in 3D so that we can go to where He is. I think about my vice of poker. I had a period where I played a lot of poker. I learned a lot about life playing poker. One of the things I learned in playing poker is when the ante goes up, the game changes. Everybody can play poker for a dollar a hand. When it goes to 1,000, the crowd thins. Welcome to the $1,000 game of poker. The Holy Spirit is raising the ante on those who want to live in Christ and be used by Him. There's millions that are going to go into eternity that don't understand God wanted to use them to be the vehicles by which, when you prayed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, you were actually affirming, God, will you please do that through me? We got hundreds of millions of Christians who prayed it and never got it. You don't have that luxury. You say, why me? My response is, it couldn't happen to a better person. He chose you to live now. How many of you besides me are so glad to be here now? If there's going to be a fight that's going to make a difference, that's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is taken by force, and those who are into that take it by force. It's taken by people who want to play offense not live their life backing up. Am I in the right place? Thank God you don't want to live your life backing up. Jesus pulled off the greatest pacifist sham game in history. Paul said in Corinthians, he said if Satan had had any idea the game Jesus was playing, he'd have made sure he never got crucified. But Jesus, like Br'er Rabbit was saying, don't throw me on the cross. Don't throw me on the cross. Come on, baby, don't throw me on the cross. Because if I get to the cross, I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. What you think is defense will turn out to be the greatest smoking offense that ever hit the planet. So come on, pacifists. Let's play ball. Let's play don't throw me on the cross with Jesus. Now, last thing. Fragmented world. Spiritual warfare. I'm cursing what I'm bringing up. But don't be surprised if off the wall depression hits you. Don't be surprised as you begin to see the scale of what we're talking about doing. As in, are you out of your mind? Yes, I am. Because God is. He's actually out of my mind and in another mind. How many of you want to get out of your mind into His mind? Overwhelmed. If we had time and truth be told, many of you are right now fighting being overwhelmed. And when you hear a message like this, you say, God, I'm hanging on. I'm already doing all I can do. I'm fighting the battle at the level I can fight. How in the world can I begin to appropriate what we're talking about now? Discipling nations? I have no clue. Well, you will. You'll get a clue. Because the Holy Ghost, once you start asking Him, where do you want me to fight and what do you want me to do? That is a prayer He will answer. If you don't know what to do, hang on. And don't let I don't know what to do become the coin you play to opt out. You guard yourself from that. Because the sense of being overwhelmed is designed to get you out of the game. God pays for what He orders. And He is going to pay for those who are going to disciple nations. He's going to pay. Because He commanded it. Fear of cultural collapse. If you've not been hit with that, you will be. It's going to get bad. It's bad now. The foundations are... What will the righteous do if the foundations be damaged? How many of you besides me look at the news and walk away and say, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? Are you serious? As it fragments, the enemy is going to try and make you feel overwhelmed, discouraged, and wish the rapture were true. Which, by the way, I do believe in the rapture, but I believe the wicked are caught up first because I've read the Bible. Matthew 13. Four times Jesus deals with the parousia, the catching away. First, gather up. Now that will rock your theology. I didn't say it. Don't blame me. Four times. First, gather up the tares. Just thought you'd like that information. Economic security. Do the best you can. Make wise choices. The rest is up to God. I want everybody with me to say, the rest is up to God. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, after he talked about food, clothing, housing, and provision, seek first the kingdom of God and what? All these things. That verse concludes a list of material care. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all, say with me, all these things. Lastly, a prayer life change. Everyone in here's prayer life is going to have to elevate and deepen. The deeper we go into the spirit realm, the more we have to be comfortable in it. Our prayer life has got to change. It's got to go up. It's got to elevate. I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm done. Three things we're going to pray for after this conference, if you're not doing it. Number one, your cities and your communities. I'm not asking you to pray. I'm going to use another word, intercede. It's different than prayer. Intercede means make me a bridge. Say with me, make me a bridge. Praying is requesting. Interceding is making yourself a bridge. Intercede for your cities and your communities. Number two, intercede for your nation and the nations God has put on your heart. Everybody in here, as you awaken, you're going to find there are other particular nations God has put on your heart. And you need to begin to intercede for them. And thirdly, intercede for divine disruption in the church that does three things. And I'll say this again later, but I'll give them to you now. Freedom from cultural Christianity. The church needs to be shaken out of cultural Christianity. Number two, religious Christianity. We need to be shaken out of religious Christianity. And number three, unbelief in an expanding kingdom through God's people. We need to be shaken out of unbelief that God is going to expand His kingdom on earth through His people. That is the way God is going to expand the kingdom. It does not come low here, low there. Luke 17:20-21, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is among you. You are the carrier of the kingdom of God. As righteousness deepens your well, the kingdom of God will begin to expand through you and your influence. That is what the battle is about. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.